Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Station.
Showtime. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Here's where we are with this show right now. I tried for 4.5 years, Bob and Jeff. It's now Bob. I control everything, pal.
Jeff Lutz.
Like the harsh realities of life are slapping you in the face right now, and I don't think you can handle it.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Are we still on?
Stand by for action.
We are still on. It's the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, your co-host, Max Power, producing engineering, 869-1240. Nice, cool, cloudy day. You've enjoyed it. You've certainly enjoyed it.
I have.
You like the clouds. You like the overcast.
Usually, but I mean, I'm working tonight. I'm out at the wind surge game. I want it to be sunny. I don't want there to be a threat of rain. I like having the window open. I don't want any of that
well,
stuff.
Well, the window open will be great. It's cooler.
Yeah, I guess.
No threat of rain. We're past the rain.
Well, then why don't
is
we
there
get
more rain coming?
I don't know. Why don't we get the clouds moving out of
well,
here?
Well, I like this.
I don't mind it. Everyone says every time it rains, well, we need it, and we do need the rain.
Only a 15% chance of rain this evening, so we'll see. But cooler temperatures, much needed, and I enjoy the rain.
How come you didn't go to the game the other night when you said you were going to?
I don't know.
You're not going tonight, obviously. This was going to be Quinn Matthews.
Yeah, I was
going to
go tonight, and Quinn Matthews got called up, Cardinals prize left-handed pitching prospect.
Did you know he was a prize prospect going into this year?
No, he's exploded. He's one of those pleasant surprises. Occasionally you get somebody like this. Out of Stanford, had a good college career, pitched well in a few innings last year, but you could never bank on this, right? I mean, he's now a top 100 prospect.
He's gone from Class A to Triple A all in the same season, which is
and
pretty,
so
pretty
you
rare.
You have Quinn Matthews and you have Tank Hentz, and you can imagine at least trying to develop a little better rotation.
I'm not sure about Tank still. I'm just not
yeah, good
quite
stuff.
There with Tank.
Good stuff. What do you get? 11 whiffs, I read the other night.
Yeah, he's close, but I don't think he's quite
That's
there
unusual. Yet. That doesn't happen that often.
Well, so, he does have good stuff.
I'm intrigued by him.
But he threw a first pitch fastball at 87, and we felt like that was on purpose, but we didn't understand why. He's an interesting.
What was his fastball clocked at later?
No, I'm not saying he was hurt. Like I said, he's doing it on purpose for some reason because it wasn't a changeup.
It's a changeup.
It wasn't a changeup. His changeup's in the low 80s.
Well, it's a mid changeup.
I think it was a four seamer, 87.
Well, he took a little off of
it, and he got up to 95 once.
I pitched, I'd love to take a little off
on the first pitch of the game.
Sure.
It was strange.
They were looking for mid-80s, approaching 90, and I'm going to throw something up there about 78.
What, did they know they were facing you?
Yeah, I opened the door for you, and of course you kicked me right in the face. Why do you do that?
Because you, come on, any even attempt at humor like you were throwing 90 or even approaching it is tragic.
I would like to know what I was clocked at. We didn't have clocks when I played.
You didn't go throw against a horse or something?
I came in relief against Arkansas City once, like in the last inning to close the game. And I really let it all. I didn't throw anything other than fastballs. And I tried to throw as hard as I could. I'd love to know what I was throwing that particular.
76, 77.
How do you know?
Probably. I don't know, because that's about probably how hard you threw. Maybe 80.
I think I could have gotten to 80, 82.
Possible. I think I threw 80 once.
Oh, please.
At one of those guess your speed things.
Oh, those things
now
aren't accurate.
Now I can't even hit 50.
Those things aren't accurate.
Like, how do you throw, like, Yadier Molina or whoever when they pitch and they're just lobbing it up there? It's always like 50. How? How do you lob it at 50 when I'm out here throwing my arm out?
I can throw 50 now.
No, you can't.
Well, I'll bet you any amount of money.
Could you throw 60?
I'd be right there.
I don't know.
Let me get loose for a little bit. I can't
remember if I hit 60 or 70. It had to be 60, right? What if it was 70?
You check out this right arm. It's still got some juice.
I guess. Rich Hill's still throwing in the 80s, I guess.
Well, he's 44 years old.
Well, but once it goes, it goes.
Well, you went many years ago.
At 12.
Yeah, just in ridiculous.
Told the story.
So we had football last night. Colorado holds on. I read where Travis Hunter, who might win the Heisman, well, I hope they're good enough to where he has a shot at it.
I don't even know if they have to be, if he's playing both sides and making an impact.
How many plays he sat out last night?
12.
Two.
It's crazy.
Can you imagine playing a college football game against the best? North Dakota State's no gimme either.
They've
got good players up and down. And your Travis Hunter, wide receiver, cornerback, and you're sitting out two plays. You're running on every play.
Well, he might
be. I mean, how in the world, that guy,
he might be the best player in the country at two different positions. He's probably already the best defensive back. He might be the best receiver.
But I'm not
going to take him number one.
But how in the world do you have the stamina and the conditioning to do that?
One in a million. Few do, but sometimes somebody like that comes along and they can do it.
I don't know of anybody like that that's come along.
There's never been a two-way college football player before?
To sit out only two plays in a game? I'll bet you Deion didn't do that, or the other people who... I bet you Bo. Did Bo play both ways?
Of course not.
Who played both ways?
Well, we're going to find out.
Didn't Deion play both ways at times?
In the NFL, he did. Charles Woodson did, but he wasn't much of a receiver until, I guess, maybe the end of his career.
I'm going to tell Max something because we've had this. Whatever computer is making that noise probably needs to get the volume turned down, Max, because I'm hearing it through my headset, and I presume it's going out over the air. So Max will handle that, but this is the second day in a row. I didn't say anything yesterday.
What's the computer?
You know that sound when...
The internet firing up? AOL? No, I don't.
You know that sound?
Uh-uh.
Let me do it one more time for you.
It sounds like a dog or something.
Sounds like a door. You know what I
don't know what you're talking about.
Like, you know.
No, I don't.
You've heard it.
This is you.
Well, if
you put your
headset on, you could contribute to the show.
Do it again, Max.
No, don't
turn
it again.
Turn it up to full volume so I can hear it.
Just, you know, one of those things. We'll get it corrected.
We will.
Duda got the North Dakota State game, Colorado game, right. He picked North Dakota State inside the 9.5, and they made it happen late.
Right.
It was 31-20, and they scored late. Then they went for two, didn't make it, so 31-26, the final. We all got KU right, except for Duda.
Again.
But barely.
There's no barely
and
they cover.
And they won by 45.
Right.
That was not a gimme.
It wasn't, but they covered, and probably covered on purpose, to be honest. Win by 45 when it's a 44.5-point spread.
Yeah, they were up 48-0. Lyndon Wood kicked a field goal to make it 48-3.
Yeah, I thought I predicted 51-0, so I was very close.
Well, anybody could have been close.
I didn't hear a prediction coming out of your mouth.
I don't predict.
You don't predict. Okay.
What I do is,
I'm going to remember that.
What I do is tell you mileage within 80 miles.
Or 1,000 sometimes.
Nah.
Depending on the cities.
You know,
Billings really, really messed you up.
Nah, I didn't quite know where Billings was because it's not a major city. I know where all the major
Montana
cities.
Only has three major cities.
Right, and I don't know
and
where the
Billings is.
There's no major city major. In Montana.
Yeah, Billings.
There's no hub. There's no major city.
All
there's
right.
no city in Montana that has a population of 100,000.
That's great. We're going to give you the three, quote-unquote, major cities.
Helena, Billings, Butte.
No, I would say Bozeman.
Then Bozeman. There's
we'll
four.
Go to three Bs. It's Helena.
Helena.
No, it's
give
not.
Me the population of those four.
I'm asking you. What do you think the population of Helena is?
What are the four again? You said Butte doesn't belong.
Yeah, Helena.
I disagree with you.
Helena, Bozeman, Billings.
Helena's population.
Helena would be.
Helena. 45,000.
33.
Okay.
Bozeman. Remember, that's where Montana State
right.
is.
50,000.
I doubt it. Oh, 56,000.
There you go.
Billings,
60,000.
Let's find out here. This is good radio, right?
It's great radio.
119,000.
Ooh, that's a big town.
That's kind of a...
And then Butte.
Butte. No one lives in Butte.
What's the population of Butte?
It is 35,000.
All right, it's about the same town, same size as... What is it, Helena?
Helena. What's a city in Kansas that has
I don't
want to
do that
35,000
anymore. I'm tired of that.
People? Hayes have about 35,000.
A city in Kansas with 35,000 people.
Hayes?
No, it's got a few more. Emporia.
Hayes only has 21,000.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. It's shrunk. Anyway, nobody cares. Royals last
Emporia
night lose.
23.
Royals last night lose at Houston. Not surprising. Now, that was set up as a loss. That's a
well,
tough one.
The bullpen again.
Well, Ursa got hurt. Pasquantino got hurt. They got hurt on the same play.
Which
and have
strange.
You heard any update on them today?
I don't think so.
Well, why not?
I just don't think that I have.
Well, I
heard an update on Cleveland Guardians' former top prospect. Now their number two prospect, Chase DeLauder, who's back on the injured list with a hamstring strain after destroying AAA.
And nobody cares about that that's because he's not a major league player.
That's the update I've heard. Lorenzen's on the DL or the IL.
Oh, man. Vinny Pasquantino. This
broke
was supposed
thumb.
To be quiet.
6 to 8 weeks.
Let me talk.
I remember.
Let me talk.
But I remember the update
don't
I heard.
Don't interrupt me.
Why?
Because.
You asked me if I had heard an update, and I now remembered that I had.
Vinny Pasquantino will miss significant time with a broken thumb, according to our friend Jalen Thompson. Of the Kansas City Star. That's not good.
Not good for them.
Lucas Erceg, no update yet.
We'll see.
He could return Pasquantino 6 to 8 weeks.
Oh, is that what I said? That's cool.
That doesn't... Shut up.
What is your problem?
I mean, really.
Something's up with you today.
6 to 8 weeks, so he'll be lucky to get back. Let's see. The playoffs begin early October. He could be back for the championship series.
Yeah, he could be back for the Royals heading home. He'll be there to pick up his bag and take it to Arizona.
Why do you say it like that?
Because that's how I want to feel, and that's how I feel, and that's what I want to happen.
You know what? They'll still finish ahead of the Guardians.
Okay.
Even without Pasquantino.
Maybe they will.
In their lineup.
I doubt it, but maybe.
No, they will. They
we'll
will.
See.
And
they'll
sweep the series from you.
No, they got to win Monday when I'm there.
In Kansas City. They never win when you go.
It's a three-game series. If we're up 4.5,
why
who cares?
Why are you going?
I told you why I was going. It's a family outing.
Who all's going? Just you, your wife, and your daughter?
No, my stepdad and his two brothers.
Is your wife going?
No, my wife's in Branson.
Well, it seems utterly ridiculous that you would go. because there's no when, you know what.
Bybee's pitching. They got a shot.
You know you're not going to win.
Bybee's pitching. He's our best pitcher, so they might win.
But you know.
No, I don't.
What do you think the record of the Guardians in Kansas City is in the games you've seen?
Probably 3-11 or something like that.
Well, wouldn't you say that fate's working against you?
2-12. Yeah, the past. But we don't want to take the past as gospel. Past results do not indicate future results.
Just... Here's what we have for you today on our radio show. Kevin Lockett, one of the all-time greats at Kansas State. He's going into their Sports Hall of Fame, and he will join the show at 2:25 today. At 2:45, Andale football coach Dylan Schmidt will get his thoughts on the always good Andale Indians. And at 3:25, Joanna Chadwick, who officially becomes a regular Friday contributor to this show.
Well, that's exciting.
Next week, although she's been one for 27 years.
She getting paid?
Not by me.
Me neither.
She's representing Vite Magazine. I don't pay anybody to come on this show.
Well.
What?
That's not completely true.
What do you mean?
Mark Mangino.
I gave him a little, but.
How much?
Don't worry about it.
$500 a week?
It's none of your business.
All right.
I handled it. It was a business decision.
Fine. Do you think we got the most out of that business decision?
I think Mark was fantastic.
He was good.
I enjoyed him.
I don't want people to ask for money when they come on the radio. I don't want that. I mean, you're not going to get more than us, and we don't get that much.
Somebody is.
Tito Santana wanted money. That broke my heart because that was such a good get.
Who cares about Tito Santana?
It was around WrestleMania time, and he was in the first WrestleMania match. You know how cool that would have been to have him on the radio?
I guess. Okay. That's all I can give you.
These wrestlers,
I guess that would have been cool.
These wrestlers, man, they take themselves so seriously because they go around to these conventions all the time and they charge money for autographs and pictures. And you can't just give of my time. I'm too good for that. Please pay me to come on for 10 minutes.
It'd be fine. It's nothing I would get.
You think I should have paid him?
No, absolutely not. No, there's no value to our show in having a washed-up wrestler.
He's not washed up. He's a teacher.
Well, I'm sure he's a fine human being, but
He had a really good career. He's an Intercontinental Champion. I believe he might have been a tag champion with Rick Martel.
He's probably 70 years old by now.
He's up there.
But there's no need to get Tito Santana on the show.
I just think it would have been fun.
Well, keep trying. Was he friendly?
It's just text, and like he's like, I have a fee.
What's the fee?
I didn't ask.
Well, you should have asked.
I should have. Next time I will. He's 71.
Oh, there you go again.
What?
Me. Getting what? Close.
Oh. Well, I mean, it's not hard to do that math. All those guys.
Well, you didn't do it.
All those guys from the 80s are around 70 now.
You didn't do it. That's all I'm saying.
Well, okay, I didn't throw out a guess at all.
Cardinals open.
I don't predict.
Cardinals play at Yankee Stadium tonight. Now, that's always cool. Don't get that many opportunities, the Cardinals, to play at Yankee Stadium. And how many home runs combined will Judge and Soto hit in this series?
Probably 4 or 5. It just takes a pop-up to right field.
I hope we hit
maddening. And I commend Judge. I applaud him. Hey, if you're going to give me a short porch to right field, I'm going to take it that way, and I'm going to hit a lot of home runs. I'm sure he could hit home runs however he wanted, but if you're going to make it easy on him, sure, I'll take it.
Well, I hope some of our guys hit home runs.
Do you think they will?
I don't know.
It's tough. You don't have a lot of true power hitters.
Well, we have Goldschmidt, but he's a little diminished, although he's gotten hot. He takes the ball to right quite often.
You know what it means that he's getting hot, right? That you're somehow going to want to bring him back next year.
I don't think so. He's getting kind of hot. It's not like he's tearing down the league. Okay. Yeah, but
these front office people, I see it with my team all the time. If they give him an inch, they'll take a mile. Oh, he's getting hot. He's still got something. Let's bring him back.
Well, if he has something, then you talk to him and you say, we'll give you a one-year deal for $12
million. Man, you don't want...
If you beat that on the market, go for it.
You don't want him clogging up first base next year?
Listen, you do what you got to do. What if he would come back next year and hit 280 with 25 homers? And you
seems
get him
unlikely.
For $12 million. Well, he's got 20 homers this year.
Is he hitting 280?
240. But he was hitting 210.
Maybe he's got something left.
You
I don't
know. You do what you got to do. I don't know either. I don't have to make these decisions.
20 home runs isn't nothing. I didn't know he had that many.
That's too bad about Pasquantino. I know you don't care.
It's not that
You're
I don't
probably
care.
Probably reveling in it to some degree. But it's always tough when a team like the Royals gets in position like this out of nowhere and loses a guy like that. I mean, that's a 100 RBI guy. That's a cog in that lineup. I don't even know what they do. Who do they play at first base? Salvador?
Maybe and just make Fermin their
Fermin catch.
It's not terrible.
And then you call up a catcher to be a backup?
Perhaps.
I mean, that's really the only thing you can do, isn't it? You could play Dozier there, I guess, but yeah.
Well, they don't have Dozier. They have
Renfro. I get those.
They got a lot
I get Hunters confused all the time.
You do?
Yes.
Who are some other?
Hunter Dozier, Hunter Renfro.
There's Hunter Biden.
Hunter Hayden, Hunter Hayes. There was a Hunter woman on American Idol. Sometimes I think she plays first base.
She might.
You never know.
Okay.
You don't contribute much. We'll take a break.
Yes, I do.
We'll come back and talk K-State football from a while back, one of the all-time great Wildcats, Kevin Lockett, the Lockett family, the first family of wide receivers. Kevin Lockett joins us next.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
All right, we're hoping to hear from Kevin Lockett. He's going into the Kansas State Hall of Fame. 49 years old now, which makes me feel old. One of the first Bill Snyder guys.
Yeah, one of the first.
He came along, you know.
In the mid-90s, closer to the end, I guess, but had a great career, and he was sort of one of those first guys when K-State was...
When K-State really started to get good.
Right, as a national power as opposed to just a team that was good.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. It's okay.
Thank you. See, I do contribute sometimes.
I hope to hear from him. You know, I went through the proper channels and did my due diligence, and that's you like to be rewarded when you do things
who
like
are,
that.
Who are the proper channels?
Well, we don't need to discuss that. I'm not going to get into all that.
Okay.
I just went through the proper channels.
In the meantime, I don't mean to bring up something horrible, but I'm sure you've seen the story about the Columbus Blue Jackets player. Just absolutely ridiculous.
A drunk driver ran over him. Was it also a friend of his?
His brother.
Yeah, it's just terrible news. Just hate hearing stuff like that.
Call don't, Uber. That
don't
is
drink and drive, people. We're past that.
We're well past that. It should never happen. It's absolutely stupid. And Can't believe it. And they were supposed to be groomsmen in their sister's wedding today.
Yeah, American society's evolved to the point now where if you don't want to call a cab, which nobody does anymore, you call an Uber, you get somebody to pick you up.
Call literally anybody.
You get somebody there to handle things, and everybody goes on about their life. But this could happen to anyone who drinks and drives, and it has happened, and it's terrible. But anyway, thanks for bringing me down.
I didn't mean to bring you down, but the message does need to be out there. Just make a phone call. Maybe even, I mean, I don't know. You're driving completely irresponsibly, too, from all indications, trying to pass a guy who had moved over because the bikers were on the road.
Well, that's, yeah. So I'm looking at the ESPN baseball people grading the trade deadline 1 month later.
It's been bad.
Two contenders that crushed it, the Royals, which they did.
I guess.
Come on, man.
They were marginal moves.
They brought in a guy to lead their bullpen. They brought in a guy to shore up their starting pitching. And they brought in a guy who has been a big boon to their offense. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you want.
I don't know. I want guys who I feel comfortable that will contribute in the postseason.
Lucas Hersteg will
do that. I don't know about
Lorenzen, if healthy, will. And Paul DeJong will.
I don't even know if Lorenzen would be in their rotation in the postseason.
That's okay. What if he's in their bullpen?
Then we'll light him up.
You don't light anybody up.
Oh, we've lit
you
some
guys
people
are
up
terrible.
Before. No, we got reinforcements coming.
The Dodgers get a crushing at grade with Jack Flaherty coming over. He's pitching like an ace now, which I wish he'd done when we had him. And then Michael Kopech, who's also been very good, and didn't mention Tommy Edmond, but Tommy Edmond's a pretty good player.
When's he due back? Is he already back?
The teams that helped themselves, the Padres, they really improved their bullpen, and they got a starter in Martin Perez, who has a very good ERA with the Padres. The Yankees, with Jazz Chisholm, Mark Leiter Jr., the Diamondbacks, A.J. Puck, Dylan Floro, and the Phillies went out and helped their bullpen. Some not have a good deadline. The Orioles, Red Sox, Braves, contenders that didn't really help themselves, but it hasn't mattered, the Astros and Twins, and three contenders that have slipped, the Mets, Cardinals, Rangers. Four contenders that had bad deadlines.
Who could it be?
Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Seattle, and Milwaukee.
I don't even care.
Oh, you care.
That they brought in Lane Thomas and he sucked. I don't even care that they brought in Alex Cobb and he's made two starts and is now back on the injured list. I care that they gave up Jose Tena, who was so clearly a big leaguer and so clearly a guy that could help you. And, you know, we'll just trade him. We'll trade a couple, two other high-ceiling prospects and then, you know, see what we can do. And Jose, and they misevaluated again. That should be Chris Antonetti's middle name. Chris Misevaluate Antonetti. That's almost
our call. Hey, listen, I get it. I thought the Cardinals had a pretty good deadline, but
they did.
Two of the guys they brought in are gone. They DFA'd them.
Yeah, I understand, but those were pretty low risk moves for
Eric Fetty will be there next year. He'll be in the rotation. He'll be a 4 or 5 starter. I hope. I hope he's not a 2 or 3, but he could be. I mean, the way they're going.
He had a really good start of the season with the White Sox.
And he's pitched okay. He's pitching tonight against the Yankees. We'll see how he does.
We'll see how he does. Could go poorly for him.
But the Royals did have a very good deadline. They had a very good offseason. You don't go from 56 wins to where they are by fumbling around.
I get it.
They deserve your respect. That's what I'm trying
they
to
have
get.
Some –
That's what I'm trying to get
you. I have as much respect as I'm going to give another team in my division. Twins have some because of their affiliation with the Wind Surge. And
you know some Twins people, do you?
Not really.
They don't come up to the press box when their farm director's in town?
You know who's been up? They don't come into the press area very often. But you know who's been up recently?
Who?
Sal Butera has been
really?
Up. Really? Yeah.
Former big league catcher.
I think he's with the Twins because he played there.
He's played everywhere.
We had the former Cubs manager, whatever his name was.
Well, I don't know. Who is it?
Oh, I can't remember his name now. The guy who was barely there.
Well, I don't know. I think I know who you're talking about. Renteria?
Quadi. Mike Quadi.
Oh, yeah. He was barely there.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have obviously Mitch Webster comes through every now and then.
Does Mitch talk to you?
I've talked to Mitch.
Does he know you're my son?
I don't know.
Well, tell him.
I'll just tell people that.
He'll be much happier with you.
Well, you know, we talked about his time with Cleveland and...
But he doesn't even... Does he know your last name?
I doubt it. I don't know.
Tell him. Hey, Mitch, you know my dad. You guys talked during the whole statue thing. He might buy you a hot dog.
It's been a while since I've seen Mitch. He hasn't been up as much.
Well, he's a scout for the Royals.
Yeah, he's an area scout. Goes around to a lot of different places.
Well, next time you see him,
I'll say hi.
No!
Mitch and I have had great conversations.
Yeah, but they'll be so much better if you just drop a name.
I don't do that. Not a name dropper guy. Hey, even Mitch, yours.
I'm Jeff Lutz. You related to Bob?
Nope.
Really? That's what your answer is.
Unbelievable coincidence, Mitch, that here's two guys you know involved in baseball with the same last name. Not related.
That's a terrible answer to give.
Who's this Lutz guy you speak of?
I'm going to get Mitch on the show someday.
You should.
I knew him some. Before the statue, the Jackie Robinson statue was taken. But he's one of the first people who reached out. He's been instrumental in getting the Royals interested in us. And I'm really thankful for Mitch.
He's a good guy.
From Larned, Kansas.
That's right.
Big leaguer for quite some time, including stints with the Montreal Expos. Think about that. That guy's put on a Montreal uniform.
Pretty good.
What do you mean pretty good? That's awesome.
It is?
Do you ever get excited about
every
anything?
Expo I'm just supposed to celebrate?
Yes.
They were a big league team for 40 years.
They may have had the best uniform in baseball history.
Which one? The blue ones?
Any of them. Their logo was fantastic. Their hat was fantastic. Everything about the Montreal Expos was magical, except they didn't win much. They had great you know, when the Wichita Arrows were a Expos farm team, the Arrows wore those uniforms with
the W instead of the W.
M.
Yeah.
And they had the multicolored hat.
That was a good look.
It was fantastic. I don't know why you don't get excited about it.
Do you think minor league teams should more closely align themselves as far as uniforms? Go.
Not anymore. The minor leagues have complete autonomy in this.
How many Cardinals,
for the most part,
are in? Is it just two?
Springfield looks like the Cardinals. Memphis,
right? But they are the Cardinals,
right?
Is there
and
another
Palm
Cardinals?
Beach is the Cardinals?
Yeah.
Peoria doesn't look like the Cardinals, and Memphis.
They're the Redbirds.
They have some resemblance, but the Cardinals used to own. Well, I think they still own Memphis. I don't think they own Springfield anymore.
I don't know. Doesn't John Q. Hammonds own everything in Springfield?
No, he doesn't own Springfield. We're joined on the IHOP hotline by Dylan Schmidt. He is the longtime and very successful football coach at Andale High School. Dylan, welcome. How are you today?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me, Bob. Appreciate it.
So we don't start any conversation with you asking if you're going to be good. We ask how good are you going to be. What's it look like in terms of returning players, depth, everything that Andale has specialized in? I presume you have very high hopes.
Yeah, I think and hope much of the same. 94 kids is the most we've had out in my time. And the school is really not growing. We're about 100 a class. So about half the boys out for football. 16 seniors, that's a little small for us, but a really good group we're excited about. Got a big junior class. So upperclassmen-wise, we're really excited about those guys. And you know, I'll call it six or seven starters on both sides of the ball. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, they might have started one game but not started another, you know, throughout the year last year based on injury. And so bring back some experience, too. Probably the strength is in the skill position. Sam Hart comes back at quarterback. He'll be a junior. His brother, Landon Hart, back at running back. Cooper Marks back at fullback. So skill-wise, we bring back a lot of guys that are really talented guys and have some experience. And then up front, you know, that'll kind of be the question mark a little bit, bring a few big guys back offensively there. But in general, I'm excited about where we're at.
So if you've got about 200 boys and 100 of them or so play football, and my daughter went to Andale. I know there are boys in theater and choir and in the things that she did and maybe even in other sports. Is that pretty much how the other 100 are accounted for? Are there kids in Andale who are not participating much in anything, or is pretty much everyone doing so?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. You know, I think in general, kids are in things, and it's because parents want them to be involved. And as you know, kids that are involved do better in school, and they feel more engaged and part of the community or part of the school, wherever you want to say. And that's what makes it fun is that, you know, when you get kids involved and get to know them on a different level, I just think it's a better school. It's, you know, better for them, better for us. And I don't know that we have a ton of kids that don't do things. I mean, they're out here and they're involved. And so, you know, that's a good thing, obviously, for everybody.
Dylan Schmidt, our guest, Andale's football coach. So you were involved in two games last year. I hate to bring this up, Dylan. I feel like don't bite my head off. You were involved in two games last year that, in my mind, go down as historic games. Cheney able to come back and beat you guys in both of them. We take nothing away from Cheney. They had an incredible year, the kind of stuff movies are made of. But how do you and your players use that experience from last year moving forward?
Yeah, number one, I hope we can. You know, when we got beat the first time, we were up 22-0 on them, and they scored right before half. Kind of double dip us there where they turn around, and then they get the ball coming out of the second half and score again. And we end up going over to overtime, as you know, and get beat. And I told myself that would never happen again. There's no way we get up 22-0 and get beat. Just with what we do offensively and how good we've played defense over the years, when we turn around the second game, we get up 24-0 on them and get beat. And it was deja vu. They score right before half, but they go for one. And I thought that was a huge mistake at the time because now it's a three-score game. And in the end, our first possession, we're marching the ball. We score, it's game over. It's late in the third, and we fumble it. One of the biggest things we emphasize in our program is, you know, is the turnover margin and, you know, show them all the stats from the NFL typically of, you know, if you're plus one, plus two, how many games you win. And, you know, that's what our offense is predicated on is kind of ball control, take care of the football. And defensively, we're all about taking it away and all those things. And so it's just easy to speak to those things because obviously the kids in the program now, they can relate to that. It's no different than mom and dad, right, or whatever you want to use is, you know, hey, I don't think it's a good idea for Johnny to be out till 3 a.m. Well, you know, 16, 17-year-old kid is thinking, whatever, mom and dad. But when you have concrete examples of that from a football perspective and you can show that to those kids and they were a part of it, I think it sets in more. Our kids are as hungry as they've ever been. I've been as excited as I've ever been. I think it's one of our best summers we've ever had attendance-wise. From our senior class, we had two guys of those 16 I mentioned that were at 97%. The other 14 were at 100% attendance. Now, I do honor it if they go to a football camp or something like that. I'll count that for attendance if they communicate it with me. But, I mean, it was phenomenal. And I use that class as an example. You know, for the first 2 weeks of practice, we didn't have a single kid late or miss or anything. And so I think the message has been heard by them, and I've been nothing but impressed with that group. And like I said, I'm as excited as I've ever been.
Do you have to put yourself sort of in an underdog position at all going into this year? I know Cheney got you last year, but until someone or Cheney or whoever does what you have done over the last 5-10 years, I would say they're not Andale. So do you operate that way, or do you operate as though you're still the team to beat, the top of the class?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both. Obviously, I like the underdog perspective. I think in general, maybe teams feel hungrier, or kids feel hungrier, or coaches or whatever, of, hey, didn't like how things go. People don't think, you know, you're what you are, and on and on and on. And so, yeah, I'm gonna poke the bear a little bit and needle those guys as much as I can to get what I want. I think that's what coaching is all about. And, but at the same time, I hope our kids have confidence and understand, hey, look at all the things you've done. I went and looked at this today because I had a guy send this to me, and he said 50-plus home game win streak. And I thought, well, it's got to be more than 50. Well, our last loss was on August 31st of 2012 against Collegiate. It's been 73 games in a row going back to 2012 since we've lost at home. I don't know if that's a state record or not. And to be honest, I'd never looked at it, never even looked at it. But in my time, we've never lost a game at home. We've won 45 in a row. And so this goes back to when Gary O'Hare was head football coach. So standing here today, we've won 73 games in a row at home since 2012. And so, I mean, those are things I'm going to share with the group. And you might say, well, geez, that creates some pressure. I don't care. I want kids to feel pressure. I want them to feel like, you know, let's crank it up. And that's what sports is all about and life's all about. So, you know, that's a neat deal that I just bring up as kind of an example of what you're talking about, is that, you know, it's a little bit of both. Hey, look at all the great things you've done, but at the same time, you know, you got beat. You know, people don't think you are what you are, and so we'll find out if that all works.
Dylan Schmidt is our guest. Andale opens next Friday night at home against El Dorado. Tell us about your schedule, and tell us about what you know of this part of the state in Class 3A. What does it look like?
Yeah, a little bit of ebb and flow. You know, we start our first three games with 4A schools because of our league. And so we'll start with El Dorado, and then we go Wellington. And I think Wellington's got a really good group, or, you know, it's hard to know now. And then we'll get into Rose Hill on game three. And then we get into district play. And to start off district play, we have Collegiate. They might be the most talented team we play all year. I know our junior class, which is really good, has had a lot of battles, or had a lot of battles, like in the 7th and 8th grade with Collegiate. I mean, they're loaded. Maybe as talented as I've seen since I've been here, and I know they have high hopes there, and they've kind of been our rival, if you will. And then getting to some other teams that, you know, we've played that have traditionally not been as good, but you never know. And then the big change for us is this year with the playoff format is they're going by record in 3A. So if we're 8-0 and another team's 7-1, then we will host at home. And so we could have game 9, 10, 11, and 12 all at home based on record or based on points. And so which would be a good deal for us. But bottom line is that, you know, there's some teams in there that, you know, for lack of a better term, have traditionally not been very good. But there's definitely some Wellingtons and some Collegiates and teams like that, that if we don't play well, they'll beat us.
Do you think your defense overall gets the credit it deserves? Because obviously we see every week you're putting up scores in the 50s, 60s, 70s occasionally, but those are all usually 50-6 or 50-0. And maybe the defense, because you score so much, gets a little bit overlooked. So do you think it gets the credit it deserves? Who are some of the people on that defense that you rely on? And I guess that's the question.
Yeah. Well, I hope it does. Number one, Tim Fairchild, whose son is Mason, who's been with the Saints and then back and forth there and played at KU. And Tim's done an absolutely unbelievable job for us. And I'm just tickled that he continues to do it. You know, he's upper 50s, and really not a vested interest in terms of, you know, his voice playing or anything like that, but he's just loved it. And he's kind of been the brains behind all the operation. He's been at Andale for, oh, I don't know how many years, you know, 29, 30 years at Andale. But anyhow, so he's kind of the mastermind behind all of it. But, you know, it's a good question. I hope they do, you know, just because, you know, a lot of our guys are both way, you know, two-way players. But I think the thing that would be interesting about us is we've used a lot of undersized guys up front with as much as everybody throws the ball. You know, you'll see a guy playing wide receiver for us that's going to play defensive line. I mean, Kel Andre is the perfect example of that. You know, and, you know, all the guys I kind of mentioned before, you know, the Hart boys and Bo Kaiser, you know, has got some press early in the year and well-deserved. You know, inside, you know, Cooper Marks, who's Riley Marks' younger brother. I mean, we got some guys that are absolute studs. I think our defense has a chance to be as good as it's ever been. Three of the guys that ran on our school record 4x1 last year that broke the school record, they're playing defense for us. And so I think team speed-wise, I mean, it's probably as good as we've ever had. And that's what gets me real excited. Size-wise, maybe not as big. And, you know, different teams create matchup problems depending on what they're doing. But in general, I hope our defense gets a ton of credit, and they should. And you're exactly right. There was a year in the playoffs there, from the playoffs through the state championship game, where not a single point was scored on our defense. It's a state record. It's never been done in state history. And that was 2 or 3 years ago. And so maybe we can replicate that again this year.
As you're talking, I just imagine so many other coaches listening going, damn that guy. But it is what it is. You've built an amazing program, and we appreciate you coming on the show today. And again, Andale opens at home next Friday against El Dorado. Dylan Schmidt, our guest. Thank you, Dylan.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me on and all the coverage over the years.
Thank you.
Dylan Schmidt from Andale. We'll be back. Kevin Lockett will join us after this.
Hey, what time is it, kids?
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
When it's radio, it's just, those words are gone. Everything we do here, it's in a vacuum.
Jeff Lutz.
I have something against most older people's ideas. They just don't have any. We're at the top of pretty much everything. And here are boomers. Hey, I got my house and my Social Security, and I'm good.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Your visit is always discreet.
Stand by for action.
All right, we are back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Bob and Jeff Lutz co-hosting, joined on our hotline by Kevin Lockett, one of the inductees into the 2024 class of the Kansas State Sports Hall of Fame. Kevin, welcome to our show. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. So how's it feel to go into the K-State Sports Hall of Fame?
Kansas Hall, right?
Well, it's obviously, it's pretty exciting. Obviously, you know, when you walk down the hallway and look at all the great names of people that are in the K-State Athletics Hall of Fame, it's pretty daunting. And so to be added to that list, I am humbled, I'm gracious, and just extremely thankful for my experiences on that campus.
So obviously you're not a legacy. Your kids and your nephew are legacy players at Kansas State. So what did you tell them over the years about your experience at Kansas State, and what can you tell us about your experience at Kansas State, and particularly what drew you to that program initially?
Well, you know, what initially drew me was obviously, you know, Bill Snyder. He's a very compelling individual. And so when I made the decision to go there, you know, I think that kick-started what people call a legacy at Kansas State. And so over the next 5 years, I think my younger brother really just saw not only how I developed both in the weight room and on the field, but also off the field. And so when my brother Aaron got an opportunity to be recruited, his last two decisions came down to Kansas State and Tennessee. And again, Tennessee was at the time of Peyton Manning and many others, and he chose Kansas State mainly because of what he saw with me. You fast forward about 10 or 12 years or so, and my oldest son, Tyler, was now being recruited and had the opportunity to figure out where he wanted to go. And again, he grew up in that K-State locker room. And so having the chance to, again, play for Bill was a comforting decision because he knew what he was going to get. And then obviously our kid Sterling, who's there now, our middle child, you know, he's grown up a Wildcat, bleeds purple. And so when he got the chance to come out of high school and play for Kansas State, he leapt at that opportunity as well.
Kevin Lockett is our guest, a third-team All-American in 95 and 96, first-team All-Big 12 in both of those years. So you, we talked earlier in the show, you weren't there at the very beginning of the Bill Snyder tenure, but you were there at the pretty much the beginning of K-State really starting to become a national powerhouse. What do you think made that happen? We know certainly Bill Snyder's coaching, but why was he able to attract the kind of players like yourself and others who vaulted K-State into the national discussion?
Well, you know, I think it started with his earlier classes, 89, 90, 91. And I think what he did with those classes was he really began to set the culture for what a winning program could potentially have. I came in the class of 92, and I think that we were sort of a pivotal class because we were sort of the class that where things started to actually turn around in terms of actual wins on the field. For four straight years, our class was able to finish our season in a bowl game. And we won 38 games over the course of that four-year period. And so, you know, I think what Bill did is he got players like myself, not necessarily highly recruited, kids that had a chip on their shoulder, kids that believed that they could play at a higher level than they were being recruited at. And he did what he does best, which is develop young men. And that is why the program, I believe, ended up being rewarded, is because his staff did a great job of taking good players and turning them into great players. He today is still the best that I've seen at getting the most out of every single player. And so it's that culture that allowed us to become a national powerhouse.
You obviously have Sterling there now. Tell us about you know, his football upbringing. And also, do you see any of Bill Snyder in Chris Klieman?
Yeah, so I'll start with the latter part. I see a lot of Bill Snyder and Chris Klieman. You know, it's probably not fair for Chris and for what he's building as his professional coaching career to be compared to Coach Snyder, but they're very, very similar. They believe in the development of young men, and that's how they build their program. Is to really work hard and build up kids and develop them in the weight room, in the classroom, and then obviously on the practice field. And they invest heavily in those young men. You know, I think what Chris has done is really taken what Bill put in place as the foundation, and he's now taking it to even a higher level. I mean, if you really think about it, they come into this season ranked somewhere in the top 15 or 17 with a legitimate chance to win the Big 12. Some are even calling them the favorite. With the expanded college football playoff to 12 teams, there's a real chance that Kansas State ends up in the college football playoff. And once you're in the playoff, anything can happen. So being a national contender today, a lot is due to what Chris has been able to do in terms of building on what Coach Snyder had originally put in place. In terms of Sterling, I think he's just extremely excited. He's a redshirt sophomore. He's played very, very little up until this point. Obviously, there are a lot of expectations when he made the commitment to come, but we all begin to mature and develop into our games at different times. And so, you know, as a redshirt sophomore, I think Sterling's ready to play now, and I think he'll have a role starting tomorrow night against UT Martin. So just as excited as the fans are, I am just as excited as well to see Sterling out there running around, having a chance to try and help his team out.
Yeah, still a young guy, and your son Tyler Lockett started slowly as a freshman at K-State. Maybe some people would forget that, but became certainly one of the all-time greats and a fantastic NFL career. And he never tells you he's better than you, does he?
No, he doesn't have to now because all he does is he just points to the different lines throughout the record books, and I continuously find myself at number two. Behind him at number one. So, you know, it's a little running joke inside between us, but you know, they always talk about records are made to be broken. And, you know, as long as I and everyone else likes to hold on to them, if someone's got to break them, who better than to break them than your oldest kid? So, actually, it's a proud dad moment every time I look in there and see that I'm number two.
Yeah, what is that like? Because I guess my dad and I, I've obviously exceeded what he's been able to do in this
profession.
I'm his
dad, by the way. And...
but to see Tyler just become a star in the NFL, I mean, to outsiders, that's like, it's like bigger than life almost, but that's your son. So how do you take that all in?
Yeah, you know, I quickly got to the point where I really wanted to enjoy all of Tyler's success, both at K-State and even in the NFL, purely as a dad. You know, I think you talk to most parents in the world and they'll tell you that some of their greatest joy is seeing their kids have certain accomplishments. And so I did really want to look at it as a dad. And so I didn't do a lot in terms of trying to direct him or coach him unless he came to me. And so what's really neat about that is it started at K-State where we'd have these weekly calls and he'd send me different videos of film and ask for my recommendations on how to beat a certain guy or how to read a coverage a little bit better. And to be honest, he's going into year 10. You'd think that'd stop after he was named All-Pro. And here we are 10 years into his NFL career, and it still happens on a weekly basis. He shoots me a couple of videos via phone of practices or other team, and he's really just trying to get additional insight. So, you know, as a dad, it's just an incredibly proud moment to know that, you know, here's a kid that's completely surpassed everything you've ever done, yet he still finds great value in coming back to the well, trying to just get more and more insight to ultimately allow him to become a better player.
I hope my son took that all in. I'm not sure he did, Kevin. So you played at K-State as a receiver with Chad May, Matt Miller, Brian Kavanaugh. We just saw that evolution of really good quarterbacks happen under Bill Snyder. It just got better and better. You didn't get Michael Bishop. Do you ever regret that? And tell us about those three guys, May, Miller, and Kavanaugh, and their abilities.
Yeah, no, I don't regret it at all in terms of not being able to play with Mike. And Mike's a fantastic, fantastic guy. But I wouldn't trade the three quarterbacks that I had for the world. I mean, you know, Chad graduated or transferred in from Cal State Fullerton. They were closing down their program. And I think Chad was probably one of the first true gunslingers that Coach Snyder had underneath his leadership. And so having the chance to start my career with Chad for my first 2 years really allowed me to, you know, grow into my own game, because a lot of times Chad would get me out of certain situations when my route wasn't as good or I was a little bit late on timing. He'd get me out of it with a perfect throw. And then I graduated into my junior year with Matt Miller, transfers in from Texas A&M. Matt was just an incredibly, incredibly smart quarterback. And that's really where I started to take off, was my junior year. And then obviously I finished my senior year with Brian Kavanaugh, who I'd been at K-State with for the previous 5 years. And Brian's story is absolutely fantastic. You know, walk-on that comes in, does what you're supposed to do, puts your head down, and just works hard the entire time. Eventually his time comes, and Matt gets hurt in the Holiday Bowl, Brian's junior year. Brian goes in, leads us to victory. And then my entire senior year, Brian is our quarterback, and we have a fantastic year winning 9 or 10 games. So I wouldn't trade the three quarterbacks that I had for the world. Great experience. They all like to throw the ball. Unlike Mike, they didn't really want to run a whole lot, which means if you don't run a lot, that means you throw a lot. And so for me to catch a bunch of passes, I like the guys that like to stand in that pocket and throw it.
So, Kevin, my daughter just started at Kansas State as a freshman this year. I don't think she's headed to the opener on Saturday, but I know she's going to be going to a lot of games at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. What was unique for you about the game day experience as a player and then, I guess, as a parent, but also kind of as a fan?
Yeah, two completely different experiences. You know, as a player, you know, obviously Coach Snyder's just known for having these meticulous schedules, and we have had no idea all of the festivities that really took place in terms of tailgating and the radio shows and all of the things that, happened before our actual football games. And so as a player, the experience was just incredible because we, you know, we thought we were on top of the world. That's when the first press box was built in 92. And we thought our stadium was big time, and to have 35, 40,000 fans out there every week was just incredible. You fast forward to me coming back during Tyler's time when the facilities have been upgraded quite a bit. Now you have 55, maybe 60 at times, 1,000 people in there. To experience all of that post my playing career, it's just a different world. You know, I've done a radio show at times before the game. I go out and bounce around some of the tailgates, and that's one of the unique benefits of being a former player that can be recognized by a lot of the fans. You know, you can get a lot of free food and drink before the games if you want by just bouncing around a few of the tailgates. So, you know, I really try to take it in now just as a fan, as a dad who still has a kid playing, because the K-State football experience on game day is very unique, and it's second to none.
Final moments here with Kevin Lockett going into the Kansas State Sports Hall of Fame. Of course, had a storied run as wide receiver at Kansas State, played in the NFL with the Chiefs, the Commanders, the Jaguars, and the Jets. So tell us about what you're doing now, Kevin. I know you've stayed in the area. You live in Kansas City. You've had a really successful run. Tell our listeners what's going on with you.
Yeah, for the past 13 years, I've been on the investment side in venture capital, where with my two partners, we've been doing early stage investing, drawing on our ag roots from Kansas State University in early agriculture technologies. And so have really deepened my relationship with the university post my playing career, and really just drawing on a lot of the incredible knowledge and intel that comes out of that university. And we're investing in early stage companies with very promising technologies in that space that we hope to grow that will completely shift the way agriculture is done and our food is grown in the future.
I'll bet that's not something you thought of when you went to Kansas State, was it?
Not originally. I went as an accounting and finance guy. But if you spend time on campus there, you learn just a little bit about corn and soybean and animal production.
Well, it's been great catching up with you. Congratulations on this terrific honor. And to everybody else who's going, this is one heck of a class. You guys will have a lot of fun talking to one another.
Yeah, absolutely. I really appreciate it, and thank you guys again.
All right.
Thank you.
Kevin Lockett, our guest, going into the Kansas State Sports Hall of Fame. Here's the rest. Deb Patterson, former women's basketball coach. Carl and Mary Ice, supporters. Ski Jones.
Is this the first class?
No.
My goodness, these guys should have been in.
Nick
girls.
Okay, how do you say his name?
Who is
Gosh,
it?
Gosh, I only covered him. Nick Lachey, right?
Right. Okay.
Nick Lachey. Where's my friend Scott Pack when I need him? Diana Miller, tremendous women's basketball player in the 90s. Jacob Pullen, Scott Sellers, a high jump champion. And another one whose name I can't pronounce.
That is a loaded class.
It's a good one. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get with Joanna Chadwick next and talk some more high school football. She'll be appearing on our show each and every Friday through our agreement with Vipe Magazine, and we look forward to that. Joanna Chadwick next.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's Joanna Chadwick from Byte Magazine, also journalism instructor at my alma mater, Derby High School. Joanna, welcome.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys. I look forward to talking to you every week from here on out.
Well, we've only done that for the last few years, but here's how I feel about it. It's like we've been dating, and now we're taking it to that next step.
Joanna, you should hang up at this moment. I don't know that we want to take that analogy any further.
Yeah, I threw up just a little bit in my mouth.
Our relationship is official with Fight Magazine and KFH Radio, and we're very happy about that. We look forward to talking to you about high school football. We are only a week away.
And typically, Joanna, Bob didn't need much dating before the marriage. But anyway, now we can talk football.
What do you mean? I dated my wife for almost 2 years.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful story.
I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, so where do we start? We've had some high school coaches on. We go with the ones who we think are going to be successful. It's always pretty easy to predict that because it seems like the rich stay rich in our state. Is there a school out there, is there a team out there that maybe is going to make some inroads this year that maybe we're not talking about?
Well, and I think it's just such a difficult conversation to have because when it comes to football, you just need so many great players. What I always look back to is Wichita East. When they had, the Brown brothers and Bryce and Arthur. And those are two of the best athletes who've come out of the City League, who've come out of the area. And yet you can't get to a state championship probably with two great players. You need so much more. And so I think what we saw last year was we did see some teams dip down and not be as dominant as they were. For instance, Northwest had three losses, and Bishop Carroll did not have as great a season. But yet, for me to count them out this year, I just can't do that. So is it okay for me to say, well, I think Northwest is going to be a team that you should watch for when we literally watch for them every year? I don't know who that team will be that is that big surprise because it's just so hard. It likely is a team that has a huge senior class that will pop in with their great senior athletes and they'll be able to shock some teams. We can't even talk about Wichita East as a team that's a surprise anymore because they've had multiple strong seasons in a row and they again come back with strong teams. I think another thing is that we have so many kids who move around and go to different schools, that who has moved that maybe we didn't catch, and will that move pay off?
Well, let's talk about Wichita East a little bit. Let's delve in, because I know they lost their quarterback, but I believe they have another one coming right behind him. What do you expect from East this year? Can they maintain that top two spot in the City League?
Well, I think so, and I think that they will. They're definitely going to contend for that City League title. And obviously losing Mitchell at quarterback is an issue, but A.J. Bohannon transferred over there from Northwest. He's a really good running back, speedy, strong. I think that that's going to be a really big move there for them. And, you know, that's also a program where Coach N.A., N.A. is in his seventh year now coaching. And so there's stability there and there's consistency there. And so I think that that is really going to make a difference.
Talking with Joanna Chadwick, as we will be doing throughout the football and basketball seasons on Fridays, about high school sports. So let's talk about Derby because our friend Brandon Clark, that's another one that just reloads every year. We just had Dylan Schmidt on a few minutes ago, Andale certainly in that category. Where is Derby as we go into this season? And really, we point toward, can they win a 6A championship as being the barometer for a program of that nature? Are they in that hunt, in your opinion?
I mean, I absolutely think so. I mean, they're ranked number one in 6A for a reason. You know, they lose a quarterback, but yet they had two kids transfer in. So as of right now, you're looking at the quarterback situation isn't completely finalized as far as most of us know. Drew Kemp transferred in from Mays, and then Aiden Heckathorn transferred in from Mulvane. But then right behind them are three other guys who could play quarterback. You could have Blade Clark as a sophomore, coach's son. He could always step in. Christian Dorsey, he's a junior who has played quarterback. And then, of course, last year when Braxton Clark was injured, Easton Splain stepped in. I think they want to keep him on defense. Their defense is really, really strong, their defensive backs especially. And, of course, you have to talk about that. Desan Brame, who's a phenomenal tight end, and everybody, you know, I mean, he's been recruited by everyone and is outstanding. You throw in sophomore running back Arius Finley, and it's going to be a good team. It's going to be a tough team to beat.
So should I feel bad for my good friend Weston Schartz going down to 4A? I mean, typically that doesn't seem like it would be a bad move if you're a big school in 4A as opposed to maybe a smaller school in 5A. But Miege, Aquinas, St. James, I don't know how you get through that.
Well, and obviously it's been a very difficult road for anybody on the west side in Class 4A because it is so strong on that east side. And I think that that's going to be definitely difficult to do. But you are right. It is nice to be that bigger school. However, look at the area teams in Class 4A. I mean, Andover Central consistently has been a team that has advanced to the state championship game. McPherson is a strong team. Bueller's going to be better this year. Wellington's going to be good again this year. So it's not, there are no guarantees there with it. But certainly Capen is a team that you have to watch for as being that west side state champ team.
Talking now with Joanna Chadwick. So we'll get with you and go through the schedule more in detail next week. But is, in your opinion, Northwest opens at Bishop Carroll, then they go to East. That's a very difficult opening. Then they have Junction City at home, and Junction City's always really good too. Is Bishop Carroll going to be more like Bishop Carroll this year? Do they start to rebound from a couple of down years?
Well, I tell you, there's some tough schedules right there. I mean, Northwest schedule is crazy to start off with. Bishop Carroll starts with Northwest and then has Southeast that next week. I mean, I don't know. I think that Bishop Carroll's numbers are not as high as they used to be. And I think that that is a concern because depth has always been, a key to their success. But the positive is that they had a lot of people playing last year who were thrust into roles and they really had to produce. And they obviously you learn from that. And I think that that kind of experience can only help you this year.
What do you have a City League team that is most likely to play in a state championship game? Or because now you have 6-5 and 4A. Possibilities. Is there one that rises to that level?
Oh my God.
I know it's tough. These preseason questions.
It is tough because, I mean, in 5A, I think May South is a team that you have to be paying attention to. In 6A, Derby and East, I mean, I would think that they have two of the best shots in 6A. But then in 4A, I mean, Andover Central, Capen's got to contend with that. That's tough to say. You know, we could have somebody in every single one of those classes, but the road there is not going to be easy.
All right, Joanna, we'll really break it down next week when we get you back on opening day of high school football in the state of Kansas, 1 week from today. We look forward to talking to you all year long. Thank you for being with us.
All right, bye, guys.
All right, Joanna Chadwick from Vite Magazine. As we start to get that high school football feel, I got to go get a Vite Magazine and read up.
Yeah, there's a bunch of previews.
I got to read up. You know, you read understand up. What I'm saying?
Go to catchitkansas.com.
I need to go
also.
To catchitkansas.com.
But I'll also, that's a tough spot you got me in. Now we're aligned with a competitor, sort of. You think I'm going to get fired from both of these positions?
It's not my worry, frankly.
It should be. I'm going to have to come live with you.
As long as I have a job, I'm good.
Great.
That's how I feel about things. It's a dog-eat-dog world out here.
Sure is.
As long as I have employment, and Lord knows everybody who's ever employed me has been thrilled about it.
Everybody?
In my opinion, yes.
I guess.
Hark, going all the way back to Bob and what's her name? Jones, something Jones.
What?
At the Derby Cinema.
Bob Jones from State Farm?
No, a different one.
Getting 4.5. Bobby,
why are you mocking him?
Who?
Bob Jones.
I'm not mocking Bob Jones.
Who are you mocking? Bruce Hurdle?
No, I don't even, what are you talking about?
Of course you are. Why do you do that?
It's fun.
It's crazy.
Sorry about that. I'm sure Bruce is listening.
That's a reference from back in the day when we had the State Farm people sponsoring our picks on then the first version of Sports Daily.
Kind of the second.
What was the first?
With Jim Coby, who lasted about 4 hours. But Jim Coby's a fantastic human being.
Oh, we love the kid. Then I came in with Jared Bartlett. And Bruce, and then Jared left after a couple years, and it was just two of us.
How often did you do the three, man? Was that basically every day?
Almost every day, it feels like, for a while. And then Jared started trailing off a little bit.
He did. Not the first guy we've seen leave the television business.
He's doing very well.
Absolutely.
And Jared and I remain very close to this day.
Oh, I can't imagine.
No, really.
When's the last time you literally...
It's only been a couple years.
Oh, really? I'm not
talking... Jared, if you're listening, call the show.
Oh, of course he's listening.
869-1240. I'd say there's a 25% chance...
Well, this will get him to call.
...that when we come back from the break, he'll have called.
He's got to be about your age now.
That'll get him.
Yeah, that'll get him.
Why would you say that
about get him.
Really?
Yeah, to get him.
He never liked you. So you're headed to Kansas City on Labor Day.
Yes.
To see the Guardians undoubtedly lose. And
we'll see.
Well, we'll see. I'll give you that. We'll see.
We'll see.
But what if they do? Well, how are you going to react?
I'll be upset.
But really, how upset?
Real upset. Terribly upset. Angry, probably, on a lot of levels.
Well, for whatever reason, the Royals still aren't drawing very many people, despite this extraordinary season, which is too bad. But we'll see. The injury to Vinny Pasquantino, certainly a big blow to Kansas City. And we'll see. I don't think we've seen anything about Lucas Erceg yet.
Not yet.
Still nothing. Maybe we'll learn something about that as they continue their series tonight in Houston. Meanwhile, the Guardians now up 1.5 games in the American League Central, open a home series against Pittsburgh. We'll see.
Exciting stuff.
I think you're missing Skeens, aren't you?
Of course, missing Skeens and Jones.
Well, how lucky can you get?
Got Bailey Falter tonight, and I hope he falters. See what I did there?
We never miss the guy, a team's ace, although we don't see Gerrit Cole this weekend.
I don't know who L.L. Ortiz is, but he pitches tomorrow.
Well, he's good. He's had a pretty good year. He's kind of running out of gas.
Luis Ortiz.
As the season's progressed. But he's had a decent year.
Yeah, he has. We'll handle him.
I don't know if you will or not. You don't handle anybody.
We'll handle him. We're so good.
Is that really what you think?
No. I don't. But we're getting a player on Sunday. We'll see who it is.
I'm looking forward to watching the Cardinals play in Yankee Stadium.
Who are the Cardinals on Sunday?
Well, I don't know. I don't know who they'll call up.
Okay, anyway, continue.
I hope they call up somebody that hasn't been here before.
Sagacy?
Although I could see Michael McGreevy getting the call.
Well, they can do two, right?
We'll see.
Position player and a pitcher.
You always want to fortify your bullpen in September.
Right. Give some
your arms
guys,
are dead.
Give guys some rest.
We'll see what they do. I'm not hung up on it.
Don't be.
No, I'm not.
I am, but you shouldn't be.
Ortiz, 5-4 with a 3.36. Another one of their young pitchers. They looked like they had something going, and then the bottom fell out.
It did. They lost, 10 or 11 in a row?
They're not playing well right now either.
Feel bad for them.
Well, I don't get it.
Is there a team that you feel like is close just about every year?
It feels like they're getting there, and then they don't get there.
Kind of same with the Reds.
Kind of.
That division is so up for grabs, and Milwaukee's the one that took it. You got to be furious.
Milwaukee's a well-run organization.
They are.
You've got the other four teams are underachieving.
I'd say, yeah, a little bit.
For the talent on their rosters, the Reds have talent.
They do.
Cardinals have some talent. They didn't fix their pitching. They put a Band-Aid on it, and the Band-Aid fell off, and they're bleeding to death.
It's upsetting.
Yeah, you notice the rider that comes out on me occasionally? Let me write that down. Let me use that.
They're bleeding to death from a Band-Aid? I don't know. You shouldn't use that.
You put a Band-Aid on a wound.
Yeah.
And it falls off, and you bleed to death.
I don't know if a Band-Aid was going to stop
that. You hear
that
all the time.
Then you go with a tourniquet or something.
You hear that all the time.
You do. You hear guys, oh, I scraped my finger. You throw a Band-Aid on it. The minute it falls off, you're dead.
Right. You hear that all the time. How'd your relative die? Well,
how'd your relative die? How impersonal do you want to be?
Bled to death.
Hey, how did your ex-neighbor die?
I do not get that. I really don't.
I went for something, and did I hit it?
No.
Probably not.
Not really.
But how did your relative die?
We got some college football tonight, Saturday, Sunday, and then again Monday. So if that's an itch you need to scratch, you'll have an opportunity. Nothing tonight that really stands out. TCU Stanford, a late game. That's one of the games we picked yesterday. And we do have Temple in Oklahoma.
Is that tonight?
That's tonight. So our first look at Oklahoma as a member of the SEC, that's on ESPN. And I suppose that's worth a look. But really, tomorrow's the day. Clemson, Georgia at 11. This is what I'd do if I were you.
If you were me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd watch Clemson, Georgia at 11.
No.
Colorado State, Texas at 2:30, or Miami, Florida. One of those. And then you get into, why'd this just pop up? Customer reward.
What'd you win?
I don't need a customer. I was looking at the schedule, and this thing from AT&T popped up.
What, you got a virus or something? What's going on over there? Don't type.
It says I got a customer reward.
You don't need to put your mic down to type. You can't just put E and it'll
Nobody
already
cares.
Fill in ESPN.
Nobody cares.
Don't do that anymore.
Nobody cares.
I care.
I'll type.
And we can hear it over. It's just such a.
You can hear me typing right now.
Yes, 100%.
You don't even have your headphones
but
on.
But when you were doing interviews, you got to turn your mic off and then type and then turn it back on.
Is my mic off now? Is my mic off?
No.
My mic doesn't turn off. This was a contractual agreement.
Well, it should.
Between me and Odyssey. Normally they want a talent's mic to turn off. They don't want mine ever to turn off.
You be
You know why?
Why?
Because they want to know what I have to say.
Pretend like I just asked you about, hey, Bob, what was real special about your time at the Derby Daily Reporter?
No, I want to go back.
And then I'll be your microphone. So
yeah, well,
that.
It was fine. Good. Good. The harder I am to hear, the more appeal I have.
You type fast. I'll give you that.
I always have.
Good.
I took to typing. It feels like I took to typing almost immediately. Took my first typing class in the seventh grade. And
mine was ninth.
And I just, you know, we didn't have electric type, did we?
Matt Silverthorne was my teacher.
Maybe, I don't think I worked on an electric typewriter.
You just have it.
At home, I had this old Royal typewriter.
You just had one of those Murder, She Wrote typewriters.
Handed down from my aunt. She gave it to my parents, and it found its way to my room. So I typed on that baby all the time.
I think.
Does that make sense to you?
I think I am the perfect age for media. Because I grew up, I dialed a rotary phone. I know Murder, She Wrote. I know shows back in those times that evolved when television was evolving. And I'm young still.
No,
and
you don't know television evolving. And, please.
And I've experienced the digital age, and I've gone through the cell phones. This is such a good age to be.
Nobody
You're
knows.
So lost, and I'm over here. Oh yeah, I got anything covered for you.
Nobody knows the evolution of TV like me.
I'm just saying I was around for some of that.
You really weren't.
The evolution?
No.
Yeah, I think in the 80s.
No.
When you got
TV evolved in the 50s and 60s.
And it continued to evolve.
That's when it exploded.
You telling me TGIF wasn't an evolution in television?
No. No.
Brutal.
What the evolution was color television.
Yeah, I watched a lot of those black and white shows.
I got my first color television in 1968.
My Nick at Night was black and white television.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
No, you had color television.
But not Nick at Night. My Nick at Night shows were the black and white shows.
I don't agree.
You don't have to agree.
I don't think there's any way.
And Leave It to Beaver reruns.
You didn't watch Leave It to Beaver.
Oh, that's funny.
Name the actors and Leave It
Wally
to Beaver.
Wally Beaver.
No, name.
I know it. Give me a
name.
Give me his first name.
Wally.
Beaver.
Dal. Jerry.
Jerry Mathers.
Barbara.
I don't know the rest of
Billingsley,
them.
Billingsley. Hugh.
Jackman.
Beaumont.
Downs.
And then who played Eddie Haskell?
I think Eddie Haskell played himself.
What was that guy's name?
I'm so good at the end of these shows, and people just miss it.
Who, Max?
Ken Osmond.
Yeah, Ken Osmond.
One of the Osmonds.
You know what you are? You're stupid. And on that note, we bid you adieu for the weekend. Have a great weekend, Labor Day weekend. We'll see you all back here on Tuesday. Take care.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.